I was just thinking how much God loves me.
Woo!
Oh, man. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. For those who are married, happily married, you know what I'm talking about. For those who are not, I'm praying for you. For those who are single, it's coming. All right? Trust me. Trust in the Lord. It will come. It will come to pass. Do not try to make that decision for God. God got a mate for you somewhere out there, I promise you. And when he sends that mate to you, you will be blessed. When my wife asked, she said, Mike, she said, you preaching, so you want to play? I said, yeah, because, you know, everybody tugs on me to do music. So for me to get out of doing music today, you know, was a good thing. You know, it's a good thing. But I am bringing the word. I would not be remiss. Your pastor, Pastor Wegar, called me early this morning and said, preacher, let me pray for you. You know, Pastor, you know how he is. He said, I'm sorry for calling you this early, but I want to pray. And he went on and prayed. And he wanted me to tell you this morning that he loves you and do not call him. He will call you. All right, so I've done my job for the pastor this morning. All right. Shall we stand with me? Come on, everybody stand. Take your Bibles, your notepads, your cell phones, and first of all, I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew. What did I say, everybody? Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and verse 12. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and verse 12. Say amen when you have the text. All right. So what we're going to do is, and I'm going to read verse 11, and then we'll read verse 12 all together. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. All together, and rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Keep standing. Raise your Bibles in the hands and repeat after me. Raise them up in the air and repeat after me. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Now hear the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Yes, in my past life, I was a pastor. But they say, once a pastor, always a pastor. That's what they say. Right now, my current job is I'm a general manager for a senior living community. And let me tell you right now, it's just like pastoring a church. The oldest person that's living in my community is 105. What did I say, everybody? 105. 105. So, you know, on my day-to-day job, I hear a lot of stories. A lot of stories in the past of just, you know, how times were, and they're reflecting on what times are today. We're living in the last days. What did I say, everybody? We're living in the, do you see it? All right, because I see it. There's a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of heartache. And I don't know if you're watching what's going on with North Korea and Russia and the United States. If you do not understand prophecy, you need to start studying it right now. And as I see this, you see people are unhappy. The title of this sermon is How to Be Happy in an Unhappy World. As I was praying about what I was going to say to you this morning, the Holy Spirit also gave me a second title, is How to Find Joy in the Midst of the Storm. What did I say, everybody? How to find joy in the midst of the storm. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we'd like to thank you for this blessed Sabbath day. Hide me behind the cross. May your people see you and me as we break the bread of life. In Jesus' name. All right, all right. So, what is happiness? What is happiness? Some people find happiness in their house, in their car. We worked so hard to get that big, fine, luxury house. We worked so hard to get that luxury car. So we find happiness because we are dealing with a lot of stress in our lives, and we want to have something nice to come to. Some of us find happiness in a man cave. What did I say, everybody? In a man cave. Some people have a bowling alley in their home. They don't feel like going out to the public, and they have that in their home. How many people have a man cave? No one have a man cave? I see. How come you hadn't invited me yet? I'm coming to your house like Zacharias. I'm coming to your house today. Some people find happiness in fashion. What did I say, everybody? I know I like to look good. How about you? Don't play with me now. We're being real today. Some of us like to have that nice dress, that nice suit. Hopefully you're smelling good in it. I was wondering if y'all got that. All right. Some people find happiness in music. Your favorite rapper, my young people. Your favorite singer. Y'all know who Drake is? Y'all know who Drake is, right? Some people call me on my cell phone. Don't act like you don't know. Come on now. Solange is up and coming. She's Beyonce's younger sister, just taking the music storm. But you know what? For those who's not into that, some people find happiness in gospel music. There's Whitney Phipps right there. Who knows who Whitney Phipps is? I'm climbing up, up the rough side of the mountain, climbing up to Zion to see my Lord. Come on now. Don't act like you don't know. We got the Aeolians. I was in that choir when I was at Oakwood, when it was Oakwood College. Now it's Oakwood University. All right, all right. Some people are so caught up in their girlfriend and boyfriend. I'm talking to my youngest daughter, and sometimes I can't even have a conversation. Daddy, I gotta go. My boyfriend is calling me. She is so wrapped up. Right now, she's in the infatuation stage. What I say, everybody? She's still learning. Still learning. Some people find happiness in their favorite sports teams. Everybody get up. Everybody get up. Stand up. Oh, yeah, this is interactive. I do things out the box. So, you know, I may not be here to speak, but I'm going to speak today. So, on a count of three, I want you to tell yourself what is your favorite team. And in a count of three, I want you to scream out loud your favorite sports team. One, two, three. I told you, man. Y'all can sit down. Some people find happiness in their sports teams. But our kids are not exempt. Our kids find happiness in their little ways. The boy with his favorite toy. Kids with their favorite kite. I remember when I was a young lad, because they got a nice kite. I was a young lad, and I was like, Dad, could you buy me a kite? He said, nope. I was like, why, Dad? He was like, son, we're going to make your kite. See, I'm from the old school. My dad said, we're going to find some dogwood sticks. They were really light. He said, go out in the woods, pick those dogwood sticks. So we found some dogwood sticks, let it air out and dry. Took a week to make it. Got some newspaper. Someone know what I'm talking about. Got some newspaper, got some twine. And then we took those sticks and we crossed them. All right, and we had a little twine in the middle of it. And then we cut that paper out, folded it over the twine. Then we had a little rag for a tail. Let me tell you, man, I didn't think it was going to work, but let me tell you, it did. It did. But see, that was the time when, you know, we were very creative. Our kids did, I don't know, my kids are grown now, so they've been spoiled, but we, you know, we weren't spoiled. We had to do everything from scratch. Some people find happiness in family time and amusement. One of my favorite things, and I'm just going to tell you, if you really want to see me be a kid again, is to go to amusement park. I love roller coasters. I mean, I'm really serious. You don't want to be around me because, you know, if they say we're going to Six Flags or Great Adventure, and if you're not prepared, I'm serious. If you just, you know, you're not ready to go with me. Like, I'm a professional with the steel roller coasters, front seat, no hands. If you don't want to do it, wooden roller coasters, back seat, no hands. No hands, I'm telling you. And I'm so crazy with it because when I get on there, I try to do my own pep rally. Turn to your neighbor and say, pep rally. I'm telling you, I'm on that roller coaster and I'm saying, all right now, all y'all behind me, y'all better get your hands up now because we're about to have a ball. So I really love roller coasters. And then some people like the the water park, you know. How many people like the water park around here? I know I haven't been to one yet, but it is so hot here that I'm afraid that if I go into the water park, it turns into a hot tub. It's so hot here. I'm still trying to get used to this heat. But and then on top of that, guys, one of my favorite things that I like to do, and some of you guys like to do, as far as happiness, is go to a paradise island. Paradise Island. It's not on there. It was on there when we set it up. So let's close our eyes right now and let's reflect. We are in the Bahamas and you see the tropical trees. You see the birds and the bees. You see that fresh blue water. I'm kind of jealous right now because I was talking to my father. He just left. He's in Jamaica right now. Right now as we speak. And he's doing a two-week crusade, and I was wishing I can go with him. But right now he's in Jamaica, and I wish I was there right now because I tell you, when you just sit on that beach chair in the cool of the shade and you're listening to what God made that ocean, and you're just at peace. How many know about that? I want to feel that. So now let's get into the sermon. Jesus was teaching in preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. Hopefully that's there. There we go. I try to stick with all black people. Can you tell? All right. The Sermon on the Mount. But before we go into the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, when he was preaching, that was really his first major sermon. That was Jesus' first major sermon. But what I like to do in the study of God's word, I like to do the pre. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at Matthew chapter 4. So turn with me in Matthew chapter 4. Let me know when you have it. Say amen. All right. Then Jesus, led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Verse 2. And when he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the son of what, everybody? Command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by what, everybody? But by what? That proceeded out of the mouth of God. Verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and sitted him on a pinnacle of the temple. Verse 6, and he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, what did he say, everybody? All right, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thy dash thy foot against the stone. Verse 7, Jesus said to him, what, everybody? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again, the devil taken him up into a exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Verse 9, and said unto him, all these things I will give thee if thou fall down and what, everybody? Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil, what, everybody? Yes. And behold, the angels came and ministered to him. So before, in chapter 4 of Matthew, so before Jesus started preaching the Sermon of the Mount, he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 whatever. 40 days and 40 nights. He was fasting and he was praying. This text tells me that when you are in the ministry of God, when you are living a Christian life for God, when you are trying to do the best you can in the will of God, you will be tempted. Turn to your neighbor and say, tempted. The devil does not care who you are. He doesn't care if you a doctorate. He doesn't care if you a millionaire, billionaire. He doesn't even care if you a little child. He is coming to tempt you if you are saying you are a minister for God. So don't be concerned. You need to be happy because you are doing the will of God. Jesus begins his ministry in verse 12, and basically he runs into four disciples, all right? He runs into Peter, James, John, and Andrew. Those are his first disciples. Say first disciples. Then he continued on in his ministry. He went up all about Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, healing sick folks, all manner of diseases with his four disciples, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew. And then at some point, he started to do his first big sermon. So Jesus had to go through something first before he started teaching and preaching to the Gentiles, because that's who he was teaching to. He was teaching to the Gentiles. He wasn't teaching to Hebrews. He was teaching to the Gentiles. So in verse 5, it said, and seeing the multitudes of, we're at Matthew 5 and verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed. And I'm going to stop right there. Say, why do you stop there, preacher? Well, this is the reason why. Blessed. Because Jesus was talking to the Gentiles, he used the word makarios. Makarios. Everybody say makarios. That is the Greek word for happy. That was the translation of blessed. It was not a Hebrew translation. He was not talking to the scribes, the Pharisees, Hebrews. He was talking to Greek descendants. These were non-Adventists. That's who he was talking to. He was preaching his ministry to unbelievers. So what I saw in that is that Jesus will speak to you in your language. Each and every one of us that are sitting in that pew have our own language. There's a book that's called Five Love Languages for people who are in love with their spouse, and it breaks down the different languages of the person you're probably married to, and it makes you realize maybe you shouldn't have married them. But anyway, Jesus speaks to you in your language, and I am so thankful that he does. The Makarios meant the island of Cyprus. The island of Cyprus was somewhere in the Greek area, of the geographical area. It had a location of, it was a perfect climate, all right? It was serene. Anything you dropped in the soil will grow perfectly. Anything that you did, it was just at bliss. So when we go back into the Beatitudes, we are talking about blissfulness. blessed means happy. It doesn't mean that God is blessing me to do something in the future. It means that I am happy to be in this situation because when I'm in this situation, I know a blessing is going to come. All right. So we will come back to this. Let's put a pin there. This is what some of us as Christians are dealing with as we speak. I'm going to deal with three negative D's, and then we're going to go to some three positive D's. Our first negative D is depression. Everybody say depression. Depression. Let me get that definition, please. Depression. I can't see it. Feeling of severe despondency and dejection. Self-doubt creeps in, and that swiftly turns into what, everybody? Depression. Sometimes, even though we're working in the ministry of God, we are working on our jobs, we are ministering to our family and friends, sometimes we experience depression. Another thing we may experience is disillusion. 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 Give me the meaning for that, please. Disappointment resulting from the discovery that something is not as good as one believes it to be. Disillusion. So I buy my luxury car. It's brand new. It's smelling so good. I just bought it. I drive it about a half a mile, and the transmission goes out. I have been disillusioned. I go and talk to my girlfriend, and I'm having a great time with my girlfriend, and 5 minutes later, she tells me that we are not compatible. I have been disillusioned. The next D is disappointment. What did I say, everybody? Disappointment. Definition, please. The feeling of sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes or expectations. Did y'all get that? Did you know that when you are in the will of God, that your family will disappoint you? Your friends will disappoint you. Maybe your husband will disappoint me. Even your wife may disappoint. And let me tell you this one. Your children will certainly disappoint you. I'm going through that now. So no, it's no respecter of person. These things happen to us when we are in the will of God. When we are in the will of God. But I'm so glad that I can discover joy. The discovery of joy. I get so happy when I'm going through my trials and tribulations, because I know that I can find joy with Jesus Christ. And I feel so good knowing that He is with me and I'm not doing it by myself. Also, in this discovering the joy, I know that I need to develop my joy. I need to develop my joy. So we go back to verse 3 of Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Check this out. So since we know that blessed means blissful and happy, we're going to say happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How many people want to be poor right now? I do. I am poor because I don't want to be here on this earth. I'm telling you, I am so ready to go because I know even though I have that big house and that luxury car, I am poor in spirit because what God has for me is for me, but it's not of this earth. All right. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. How many mourners do we have? You don't have to raise your hand, but if you feel that you will mourn a mourner, you are comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I am hungry for God, if you are seeking and thirsty for God, guess what? You will be filled. I am thankful that I am being filled because I'm thirsty. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Think about that for a second. How many of us are merciful to your family? If that's an issue, work on it. I'm one, I can say that. Sometimes I'm just not merciful, and I need help with that. But I do know that if we are merciful, God will be merciful to us. All right. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. But here's the one that I really had to deal with, and I'm sure many of you are dealing with it. Happy are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Here we go, and I'm still dealing with this one. Happy are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. But I'm glad that we got verse 12 because it says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I'm going to tell you right now that God is saying to you, when you are on your job and someone is giving you the hardest time, be happy and just bless them. When you are at school and you have an issue with a teacher, God is saying, be happy and bless them. When you have folks talking about you, talking just all negative of evil against you, God says, bless them. Be happy for it, because great is your reward in heaven. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that I have happiness in my life. I'm so glad that I have happiness in my life. What do you say about happiness? Happiness in my life? H stands for my Heavenly Father sending His Son down from glory to give me happiness. A is for the altar where Jesus died on the cross for me so that I can be happy. P is for perfect peace, because through God, I can only find perfect peace. I don't know why you're still sitting in your pew. I don't know why you're not taking advantage of this happiness, but I am. In not so long ago, I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and because of God, now I can live. Now I can breathe. Now I can be happy. E is for eternal life, because when Jesus died on the cross, I was able to be saved. All right. S, what did I say, everybody? S. S is for soul saving salvation. I threw another S. I threw a happiness. I threw a soul saving salvation. I don't know why my slides are not moving, but I need to be in heaven. While she's trying to fix that, I'm just going to keep on moving, because you know what? When I'm happy, I have to defend my happiness. I have to defend my happiness. I have to make sure that when I wake up in the morning and I go to church on Sabbath and I say happy Sabbath and someone look at me mean, I don't take it from them. I just say, Lord, bless that. That's yours. When I go to work and I find out that, and when I get to work, that I'm getting rolled up. I'm getting disciplined for no reason. And I just say, Lord, send your spirit so that I can be happy, because I know that I must be doing something right, because they see that I'm doing something wrong, but I know I didn't do nothing wrong. Thank you, Jesus, for being there for me. Someone says that if you happy, clap your hands. If you happy, stomp your feet. If you're happy, say hallelujah. That's what someone says. Someone says that happiness is to know the Savior. Happiness is to work in God's favor. Happiness is a place that you can go from here to heaven. Happiness is the Lord. Is heaven where you want to be? Is heaven is where you want to go? Well, stand with me if heaven is where you want to be. Stand with me if heaven is where you want to go. Because you know what? In Jesus, we can find perfect peace. In Jesus, we can find everlasting life. We may have some difficulties in our technology today, but the Lord worked it out. But in Jesus, we are here to be the salt of the earth. And guys, please, please do not make it so that we have these materialistic things that we need to be satisfied being here on this earth. There's a place that we are going, and heaven is that place. Heaven is that place. I have three appeals. The first appeal is you want to be more happy if that is your desire. Just raise your hand. You just want to be more happy. You're tired of being frustrated with the cares of this life. You're tired of being frustrated with people that is so negative. The second appeal is you want a more personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If that is your commitment, raise your hand. We're going to pray for that too. And then the third appeal is, hey, you want to have Bible studies? You want to go through and understand more about this word of God here, the Sabbath-keeping church. If that's your desire, you can come on down to the front, if that's your desire. But we're going to go ahead and pray about having more happiness. We're going to pray about having a personal and a closer relationship with God. Every head is bowed and eyes are closed. Loving Heavenly Father, we'd like to thank you, first of all, for this blessed Sabbath day. We'd like to thank you for life, health, and strength. We want to thank you for just being here and knowing that we are in the will of you. Lord, we are praying for those people out here who are struggling with happiness. They want to be more happy. They want to have that joy, that delightfulness that only you can give. We can't give it to ourselves. Only you can do this. So we thank you for that. Send your spirit to comfort them so they can have more happiness. For our second appeal, we want to pray for those who desire a closer walk with thee. Lord, what's so good about it is I can pray for these people, but you know what they're dealing with. Initially, you know what they're struggling with. I don't. It's not for me to know, but it is for me to pray for them. So send your Holy Spirit. Stop by and touch them. Anoint them. Give them a closer relationship. And then, Heavenly Father, there's someone out here who wants to give their heart to God. They feel the tug of the Holy Spirit. They feel him moving in their hearts. But I do know that in your word, that ripe fruit falls from the tree. You don't have to tug it. You don't have to pull it. But they fall from the tree. And Lord, you know when they're ready. But just send your son, your Holy Spirit, just to send them comfort and give them a desire to serve you. These and other blessings we ask, we just want to pray for all the people that are here under this roof. Send your angels, send your people, send your Holy Spirit just to touch one another. May the love from each other exude to one another. Let's touch each other like family that are in love with each other. Now, forgive us for our sins and shortcomings so this prayer may be answered. And in the loving name of Jesus, we thank you. Let the church say amen.